Maybe that is a bad sign, because when you have something inside of you that needs to get out, I guess that's going to cause a little quaking in you. There you go. Good morning. So Lisa asked me to speak last week because she's going to be out of town and she's traveling back today. So I've learned to become grateful for the opportunity. Only because, you know, coming up in this house, it was always something to where I always had a feeling of wanting more and wanting to experience more and wanting to dive deeper and all those things. And so I'm glad that I have the opportunity to do that. So I'll try not to let the nerves get the best of me. So this morning, my first scripture is going to be 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is, if there was a title for it, it would be, "What is this treasure?" And the scripture says, and mine's going to be a little different than what we have here, but "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay or in earthen vessels, to show that this is an all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." And so when I looked up that word, earthen vessels, earthen means from earth, and vessels are us. And another word for vessels in the translation is either equipment or implement. And so a vessel or a equipment is something you use to do a job, is what I thought of. And equipment speaks to me of something that you operate to move or to build something. And we are equipped with this treasure, and it's a hope of glory to share with everyone a solution that will move mountains or that will build his kingdom. If we ever need to know what the purpose of our lives are, I think on this earth, it is that we are to build something and move something. And we have that treasure in us that is not only for us, but it's for those around us. The very first scripture I ever learned whenever I was a kid, and I came here when I was 15, was in Sunday school with Monty. It was the very first scripture I ever memorized, and it was, "Christ in you is the hope of glory." And he would use that scripture every week. And a lot of times, if you're like me, you need to hear something over and over and over and over again before it gets grafted in you. And that's always been in me, because if there's anything that we need, there's a hope. And there's a feeling that whatever our situation is, there is a hope that that situation is not forever. And we know that it's not. A lot of times I think we have a hard time, and I don't know if maybe this is just me. A lot of times we believe that there is this unsurpassing power that God can do whatever we ask or think, above and beyond whatever we want, and we believe that for everyone else. A lot of times it's hard to see it for ourselves whenever we're going through our own stuff. It's hard to see what God's building and what God's moving in our own lives, but a lot of times I can have a conversation with Kelly and talk to her about how her mom's going to make it through this or about how she's going to make it through something. And I absolutely believe that with every ounce of me when I tell her that. But sometimes it's hard to take into yourself and believe that. But it doesn't make it any less true. My next scripture is just further down, 8 through 10. "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." Jesus came to die for our sins, but further than that, he rose again. And so while we carry around this death, we carry around this this thing that he did for us that was so great, at the same time, we also have this outgoing of life because of what he also did. We can't just stop at the fact that he was our Savior. We also move forward in the fact that he is our healer and that he is the one that is blessing us. He's the one that's strengthening us. He is doing all of these things out from us. And whenever those things function out of you, it strengthens you and it does all of those things for you. It also does those things for everybody that you encounter. His kingdom is not just in us. It's for us. It flows from us. We are the life-speaking force to those who are crushed, who are perplexed, who are struck down, but we are alive. And we have this life, and we have this great thing inside of us, and it's not just for us. And while we are young in the Lord, and while we're immature, and those types of things, I think God has a way of meeting us where we are. And I know that as we're coming up through and learning all of these things, there was a scripture Lisa talked about, and this was way back in 2000, and I will never forget it, because it was a time in my life when I was looking for a job, and she spoke about how they were going in to spy out the land, and the spies came back, and they said, but we are as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we are in theirs. If we think we are a bug, then they think we are a bug. She said, we are not a bug. I am not a bug. And I went to a job interview back then, and I was in the car before I went in, and I kept saying to myself, you are not a bug. You are not a bug. Because this, from the family that I came from, it wasn't necessarily something that maybe would have been in my cards to go and to have work that didn't involve work, like hard work. I don't know how to explain that other than it was an office job, and that was not something that everybody had in my family. You know, if they did work, they worked hard, and not that office jobs aren't hard, because I still have one, and some days it's really hard. You know, it was something that was very foreign to me to be able to do something that didn't make me feel like I was less than. I had to start understanding that I was more. And that was something that, you know, if you're here for any more than about 10 minutes, you'll find out you're more because you are. And so that was something that spoke to me in that time that was able, that, you know, empowered me to be who I am, the person that I am today. 1 to 11, for we who are alive are also being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may be revealed in our eternal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We are alive. Sometimes we believe the power of God most strongly when it's for other people, and I kind of talked about that because I got ahead of myself, but and I don't know why it's easier to pray for other people or to believe for other people. You know, we'll believe for other people to have blessings in their finances or for healing or all of those different things more than we'll believe for our own self. And I don't know why that is, but when we understand deeper and more that the kingdom of God is for us and through us, the full power of God has no bounds. We have to get over ourselves so that we can help everybody else. And that's a lot of what all of us are working toward all the time. But I think once there's been a lot of situations where I think we realize how powerful God truly is, and it empowers you to go out and tell other people. And it doesn't matter where we stand in that, whether we think, oh, well, I believe in a powerful God, and all those guys that came through here last week, all that ministry that came here last week, they had the power of God. But we don't necessarily know that it's for us normal people. But the thing is that we're not called to be normal people, you know. We're all called to meet whoever, and whether it's to the masses or whether it's to the people that we meet in our everyday life, it doesn't matter. The next scripture is Matthew 13:44. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but This is from the Kingdom of God series that Lisa spoke in the back and Bible study. And that word that she was speaking about what the kingdom of God is, I think was, it's a, really a shame that it's not on audio, because I think that was one of the most powerful things that she ever spoke as far as us understanding what the kingdom of God and how it applies to us in this day. But one of them was, the kingdom of God is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. When a man, and the man that they're talking about is Jesus, found it, he hid it again and then sold everything that he had to buy it. There's a treasure that's hidden in a field, and that's you. And whenever Jesus came and did what he did for us, he sold everything he had up until and including his life to buy you, so that you would not be hidden in a field anymore. I think there's a lot of times where we feel like we're hidden in a field. We feel like we're standing out in the middle of nowhere, and there's nothing around us, and there's no resources, and we don't know what to do. And so he didn't leave us in the field. He brought us into the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God, that you're the treasure that was brought in from the field so that you could be who he's called you to be. You are the treasure in the field, and Jesus sold everything he had, including his life, to buy you. This is not the kingdom for just those that we think are better. It's not for all the ministry that came through here last week. It's not your ministry to further the kingdom may be for you to speak to your family or for the people you work with or whoever. But the treasure that you have inside of you is hope, and it's healing, and it's love, and it's peace, and it's joy. And whatever you're delivering, and whether that is like Lynn, who's delivering it to the masses from a television show, or whether it's at the Food Lion whenever you leave here today, that person who's receiving that message of hope from you doesn't care how they got it, as long as they get it. Because there's people who are in a death mentality. They think that they're always going to be where they are forever, and they don't see any way out of it. What we bring is life that propels them from that place. That's the treasure that we have. They need to know that there's a man that sold everything that he had to buy them. And we have to realize that there was a man that sold everything he had to buy us. And that we're worth it, and we're worthy, and all of those things. And we're worthy because he made us worthy. You know, if Lynn did an example up here where he put some money up here on the altar and told somebody that it was free. And so a couple ran up here and got it. Because it was free. You know, we have this inside of us, but if we don't ever use it, it's just there, and it's just dormant. And I've used an example with the youth group before. You know, if it's just, it's like a vacuum cleaner. You can run that vacuum cleaner over this floor all day long, and if you don't ever plug it in and turn it on, it is never going to do its job. If we don't ever plug in and turn on what God has for us, we're never going to be able to do our job. And that's what we're here for. And so if we're not doing that, then you know, we don't have a purpose. That's the purpose that he has for us. We have to activate the power of God that's inside of us. I'm talking really fast, and this is going to end up being really short. I counted these pages, and I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be good. But coming up through here as a kid and learning everything that I've learned, what I do know is that whenever you immerse yourself in everything that's happening with God, I know that it strengthens you. If there's one thing that I know in this world, it's that. Because there, when you come from a situation that you don't really have much hope, when you don't really think, you don't really know how to become an adult. You don't know how to be a wife. You don't know how to be a woman. You know those things. You're not coming from a place where you can glean any of those things, that you can be better and more and all those types of things. It feels very drastic, and it feels like you don't know what you're going to do. And so, whenever I came here and started pretty much just doing everything that they were doing. If they were driving to somewhere, then I was in the vehicle. You know, the first year we went to a conference in Tennessee, it was me and Graham and Pap and Wilda and Lisa. And that's a pretty big age gap. But I was going to be in that van because I knew that there was something that I needed to know, and I knew that I wasn't going to know it unless I went and found it. And so I'm grateful for that. I will never forget that day when they came. They picked me up at work in Martinsburg, and my friend worked there, and she looked down, and she says, all those people in that van have gray hair. I said, that's my ride. So I went out, and I got in the van, and we went down the road. But, you know, whenever you know that you need something, it doesn't matter, because we have to be able to look to people who are a little older than us to know that, you know what, we went through those same kind of things, and we made it. You know, here at this church with our youth group, you know, I think it's so important that we have our younger kids look to the kids that are a little bit older, to the ones that are a little bit older. We all need to know that there's somebody who went through what we went through and they made it. Because if we don't know that, then there's no hope. But we know that, and at the same time, it's still a circle. It's not a line. We know that, you know, Wilda can look at the circle and look back at what the kids are doing now and say, and be so blessed by it, because she knows if she would have been that age and knew what they know, how much further would we be along? You know, how much further, you know, so it's just, I can look at the ones that are a little bit older than me and see that we're going to make it and it's going to be okay. And I can look at the ones that are younger and say, man, I wish I'd have known what they know when I was that little. I wish I'd have been to Sunday school whenever I was a kid. I never went to Sunday school as a kid. So for these preteen girls and all of that who know what they know at this point, to have a hope and to have that to hold on to as they grow up, that's just amazing to me. And like I said, it's just a circle that goes on and on. Because that's how our lives work. Let's see. Did I finish what I was reading? I think I did. I'm going to go back up to 2 Corinthians 3 to read a little bit before where I started. A lot of times I do that because we read a scripture and we don't necessarily know in what context they were talking. Because the scripture is broken down into chapters, we read it, you know, in chapter 4, and we think, okay, well, that's kind of like a book to itself. And a lot of times if we go back a little bit to, like, the end of the last chapter, we find out, oh, well, that's the place that led them to what they were saying. And so 2 Corinthians 3, 12 through 18, it says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old and the new when the old covenant is read. And the old covenant is talking of the law. It has been, when the old covenant is read, it has not been removed, but only in Christ it is taken away. So, you know, we've talked before about the veil and that type of thing, and we know that the new covenant, which is Christ and which is grace, that didn't do away with the law, but it fulfilled the law. We know that that veil is there because you couldn't access God directly. If you needed access to God, there was a festival and there was offerings and there was all these things. And the priest would go in and make that for your benefit. You didn't do that on your own. And that was a veil, because we know that it's hard to have a relationship with somebody when there's a separation between you. When you can't see clearly what it is they're saying to you or what it is you're saying to them. Nobody can be heard clear whenever there's a veil in front of your face. They can't hear what you're saying. You can't hear what they're saying. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who are unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we need to make sure we understand that there's no veil in front of our faces. The veil is removed when we turn to the Lord. And I believe that that is immediate at our salvation, as well as ongoing as we continue through our covenant relationship with God. And I think a lot of that comes with understanding. As we understand the Lord more, more things become clear to us. It's just like, I think, any relationship. Whenever you first get married, you have a honeymoon phase, and everything's great and sunshine and roses and all of that. It doesn't matter that you don't have any money. You'll eat ramen. It's okay. It doesn't matter, right? I remember whenever we were first married and we didn't have any money and we lived in this little tiny apartment and we made ramen and we were good with that. Then you start to get older and you're together longer and then things don't look like you thought they were going to shape up. And you start to think, wait a minute here. And the first thing we kind of do is we want to blame people. So whenever you're together, the first person you're going to blame is the one you're with. And so it's, well, it must be your fault because you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And if you just listen to me and all that, and you know I would never talk like that. But we all have our days. But anyway, a story I was going to tell you was whenever we were first married, we lived in that apartment, there was a garbage disposal in the sink. And we were making ramen one day and we went to pour it into the strainer, and the strainer flipped, and the ramen fell in a gigantic blob down the hole in the sink, right into the garbage disposal, but it was still whole, and it wasn't on. So what happened was is that clogged it, and it was stuck, and you couldn't drain the sink, and it was just a mess. And so Sean comes, and he helps, and so he gets under the sink and takes apart everything, and he's got a plunger or something, and he's taking the plunger stick and he's shoving it back through the pipe trying to get all these noodles broke up so that they'll wash away. Well, we were pretty young in Christ then too, and so, you know, a lot of times, you know, your initial reaction is just to get mad and yell and scream, and Sean takes this plunger and hits the thing with it and says, "In the name of Jesus." And he shoves it down through the thing, and it worked, and went down through. And that's how you know how powerful God is in your life, whenever your husband says that, and it works. And so I was always very careful after that to never drop anything down the disposal again. But he did all that, and he fixed it, and all that. And so those are just times in your young life together that you trust someone to do things to take care of you, and they do. And it builds your confidence in them more. And it's the same thing with God. We trust him whenever we're young, and and it may just seem like something little to somebody else, but to us, it was whatever our life was at the time. And I remember we sat on the floor in that kitchen after he did that, and we cracked up laughing. I mean, we were 19. We just laughed and laughed over the fact that this happened. But at the time, it wasn't funny whenever all this was happening. And I'm sure I was probably yelling or something because I'm a yeller. But I don't remember now. But it was fun times. And it's fun whenever you're young and you're growing up together and you're doing all these things. And you get to the point in your life where you realize a lot of your experiences are are together with each other. And a lot of things that you learn about each other can reflect on what God's doing in your life. You know, as you have your young relationship with him, you trust him for these little things, and you learn to trust him more and more as you go. And so then whenever you get older and the little things become bigger things, you still trust him. You still know that he'll take care of you. You still trust his timing, even though it might not be your timing. So you just have to look at these things and know that this is an ongoing relationship where there's two people involved here, and you trust that that one's going to take care of you and do the things for you that you need. And that's kind of where we are, I think, sometimes, is we just have to trust that because he did it before, he'll do it again, and we trust him to do it. And so I believe, Lord, now help my unbelief. Because a lot of times the facts don't hold up to what you're thinking. But they will. And he'll work it out either way. And we just have to trust him to work it out for us to our good. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are unveiled and free, and our faces reflect. Like a mirror, to reflect something, we need to get in front of it. You know, you can't stand beside the mirror and expect it to reflect you. We have a mirror on the door in our bathroom and then a mirror that's above the sink. If I want to see the back of my hair when I'm doing my hair, then I open up the door and look at my hair in the mirror in the back because you can see. We have to get in front of it. We have to devour everything that he has for us to look like him. You are what you eat. So if you're going to Wednesday night Bible study, or you're coming to youth group, or you're coming to Sunday morning church, you know, whenever you're here, man, just eat it up. Get everything that you can inside of you, because that's what strengthens you for the things that you're going to encounter in your life. We need to look like it. We need to get into his word. At every opportunity, we should glean from the word being spoken. You know, we couldn't have a greater teacher than we have in our pastor. Because that's truly, I think, what she is she's a teacher. She's not someone who just kind of like comes in and barrels through and tells you this revelation thing, even though she could if she wanted to, I'm sure, but she doesn't just come in there and tell you what she has seen. But she will go through these things and teach you how it applies to you. You know, I hope that we could do half of that, you know, as far as what we teach other people and being able to see what Christ is to them in their life personally. He's not just some distant, far off God that isn't for your future. He isn't for you personally, but he is for you. You know, I was talking to a lady one time, and she had recently started going to church, and she was doing really well, and she was really enjoying it. And I had said something to the effect of that God was all-inclusive, meaning that he, with God, with this relationship with God, with our salvation, there's so much more that comes with that salvation than just the salvation. There's the healing that comes with that. There's the understanding that comes with that. There's the lifting up of our souls that comes with that. It's all inclusive. It's like the cruise ship. When you go, if you get there and you think that just the ride is it, then you're not going to have a very good time on that cruise. And half of you in here have been on a cruise, and you know that there's all kinds of stuff on there that you can do. And it's all included in the price that you paid to go. So you can go get your ice cream at 2:00 in the morning if you want to. You can, you can eat the buffet dinners, and you can go on the excursions, and you can do all of these things, and it's all included in the price. And if we don't take advantage of everything that's included in the price that he paid, then we miss out. We just get the cabin. We just get the porthole, you know, to see the ocean. That's it. But we have to realize that that isn't it. He is so much more than just that. He's so much more than just being content to be on the ocean. He's the thing that keeps you when you're riding the wave. He's the joy that you have to go eat a good meal with somebody, or the fun that you have on that. He's fun. It's not just strict and, you know, something, you do this or I'm not going to love you anymore. That isn't the God that we serve. We serve a graceful God that is fun. You know, I'm sure if you were here last week for a conference, you know that serving God is fun. Being in the presence of God is fun. It's, fellowshipping with people that you know and that you love and you haven't seen in a while. It's dancing around if you want to. Georgia, this morning, whenever we were getting ready to start, Amber took her back to her seat, and she said, but I'm ready to dance. She knows that church is fun. You know, how much better off would we be if we all would have come up like Georgia and know that church is fun? We probably wouldn't have walked away whenever we, you know, had an opportunity or, you know, had doubt. Whenever you know something is good, You don't walk away. You stay because you know that it's good. At every opportunity, we should glean from the word that's being spoken. It'll change your life. I don't know where I would be if I never would have had this opportunity to be in a house with people who brought me up and who taught me who I was and all of those types of things. I don't know who I'd be without God in my life. I wouldn't want to venture to guess because I'm not sure. But I know that it will change your life to do this. I know that it changes our lives to actually dive into what he has and trust him to keep you. A lot of times we believe in a God, and it's true, we believe in a God that is our Savior God who will lift us up when we fall. And that's true, he will lift us up when we fall. But we also need to believe in a God that will keep us up whenever we're going through struggles. We don't have to hit rock bottom for him to pick us up again and think that that's the way he wants our relationship to work. You know, it's not a rocky marriage. It's steady because he keeps us steady. You know, I talked a couple weeks ago about the waves and about riding a wave and getting hit by a wave is two completely different experiences. But the wave's the same. You know, your position in the wave is what's different. If you're in the break of that wave, then yeah, you're going to get some water in your face and up your nose and all that type of thing. Last year we went to the beach and a wave hit me, and of course I had my sunglasses on because I wasn't smart enough to leave them back on the towel. Well, of course the wave hits me and knocks the glasses off and I lose these. And now these are like prescription sunglasses, so it wasn't like they were just, you know, just regular sunglasses. So of course, and I just got them. So I'm like, I can't believe that I did that. And so anyway, we kind of like look up and down the beach for them, and we didn't find them. But Sean said, well, by the time we would find them anyway, they'd be so scratched up from the sand, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't be able to wear them. But, you know, my position in that wave was not ideal to keep your sunglasses on. That's what I know for sure. And see, what happens is that whenever we get hit by a wave, we don't see clearly anymore. I wasn't seeing too clearly whenever I lost my glasses. But, you know, if I would have been out further and where the waves weren't breaking, I could have laid and just floated on that water all day long and never would have lost my sunglasses because nothing was hitting me in the face. Nothing was knocking me over. The same thing is with God. We have to trust him to help us ride out these waves. And, you know, a lot of that is there's situations in our lives that are in our control and not in our control. You know, the things that are not in our control, we have to trust him to be able to help us through those situations. Even whenever we're getting hit in the face, we have to trust him to move us out a little bit further. And we can only do that by going deeper. We can only do that by swimming out a little bit further. And that's how you get out of that getting hit in the face with the wave. You know, whenever the situations are completely beyond our control, you know, there's a lot of times where we feel lost because there's nothing that we can do. We can't make people do what we want them to do. We can't make situations change like we want them to work. But we can trust him to take us out a little bit deeper and ride out the wave. That's what he's there for. You know, he's calling us into the deep so that we can know more and more about him. And in that, it strengthens us, you know. And not only for the kingdom, and not only for you, for the kingdom, this freedom that comes with his spirit is a freedom to press in harder and not be abandoned and to be perplexed or confused, but to come to understanding. And while we ourselves feel cast down, we are not destroyed. You know, there's been times in my life, and I know that there's been times in other people's lives where they felt like they were cast down, where they felt like they had been beat down, where they feel like they weren't being treated right, where they felt like they were being destroyed. But God, he hasn't ever abandoned us. And if we call on him and if we come to him and if we dive deeper, we know that we won't be destroyed. This treasure inside of you is for you. And as your eyes are unveiled, you'll see clearly. You see and believe for yourself because only through you is this kingdom revealed. People see God through what we do. Sometimes you are the only Bible that people read. And in that, you know, I think that we should be cautious in the way that we say things. I know a lot of times if somebody's going through a hard time, sometimes our instinct is to kind of commiserate and talk about the misery that we have or whatever. We complain until our soul is overwhelmed. I think we have to be careful because that's a fine line in saying, you know, I'm going through something like this too. But then the very next sentence is either hope or it's death. So we want that next sentence to be hope. I know that you're going through this rough time. I know I've been through this, but this is what I was brought through. You know, but God is able to bring you understanding whenever you're confused. God is able to pick you up whenever you feel cast down. That's what he's there for. You know, he's there for us to strengthen us so that we can be there for them to strengthen them. Let's not take this treasure lightly. If we have it and we never use it, it might as well still be hid in the field. But it's not still hid in the field. It's in you. And so we can't take that lightly. I think that, you know, a lot of times I have felt such a great sense of responsibility for what you know, for what I know, at the same time not feeling guilty because I didn't do exactly what I thought I should have done. I guess that's a fine line sometimes, but I think if we do what we feel like God's leading us to do, and if we do it out of love and all those things, then we can't miss the mark if we're doing it out of love. You know, whatever he's called you to do, you know. Now, you know, there was a minister here that spoke last week, and he was talking about, you know, different instruction, and he was talking about how there's certain people that we are teaching or instructing that we don't really have authority to do so. And whenever you do that, you kind of end up tearing some people down because those people aren't willing to accept what you're saying. And that was something that had kind of been on my mind, where I think we have to understand who we have a voice with. Because there's some things that I can say to somebody that I'm very close with, and I could give instruction or, you know, kind of lead or whatever to Kelly that I might not necessarily say to someone else because we don't have that same relationship. I think we have to be careful of the relationships that we have with people to where we can, you know, pray with somebody or we can do these things with certain people that we might not be able to do with others. But at the same time, you know, you have your family and your house that you can speak into the lives of your children and speak into the lives of the people that are close to you because God has put those people in your life so that you can do that. And so if we're doing that in a spirit of love, I don't think that that's ever wrong and that God will bless you for that. I'm about to the end. He bought the treasure that's in the field to reveal to humanity because it gives life in the midst of death. You know, everything that Jesus did for us is a life-giving force. And, you know, I've kind of went over that already, but I feel such a great calling and such a great thing that we in this time, we have to give life to people, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's not politically correct that we do, or it doesn't matter that that somebody might say, well, you know, that's not for you to do or something like that. But I think that whenever we speak to people and release this treasure that is inside of us, we understand what God has done for us first. And then in that, we also know what he can do for everybody else, you know. That's pretty much all I have to share today. And I know that was pretty quick, but I don't want to drag it on. But that's it.